Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's so wonderful to be gathered again in our Father's house. And, you know, when we come here, it's like there is a temptation as we walk into the church to start thinking that we're one of the good people because we're here. You know what I'm saying? You know, at least I'm not one of those people who's not here, right? And today we're going to be talking about that because there's a lot of things that we do, a lot of things that you know, the good things that that we do, the way we try to live our lives, and we got to be careful about how we go about living because we know that it isn't the things that we do that make us acceptable to God, but it's the fact that our God loves us enough to bring us into his family. And today at the beginning of this service, let us remember that day that our God brought us into this family, not because of anything we did, but only because of his great love for us and what Jesus did for us on the cross. So let us remember our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful day, Lord, and the, our opportunity, Lord, to spend this time, this holy time, this time set apart for you in your presence, with you, hearing your word and having the opportunity, Lord, to return praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. Lord, I pray that you would send your spirit into our hearts and our minds this morning. Be present here, Lord, so that we can learn and understand things that we would not otherwise be able to understand. Show us, Lord, our sin, so that we can confess it, Lord, and receive your forgiveness. Thank you for your great mercy. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Where am I? Let's confess our sins. This seems like a good place to start. We walk into church, and there's all these things that are standing between us and God, the things that distract us from his love and his mercy and his grace because we sit here and feel guilty. Let us get those things out of the way by confessing them and receiving his forgiveness. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, having received such great mercy, let us return praise and thanksgiving to this God who has loved us.
To be mended, I come wounded to be healed. I'm coming Good morning. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder at St. Mark's. It's my privilege this morning to read the first scripture reading to you. From the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up this shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Thus concludes the first scripture reading this morning.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 7th chapter. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning, friends. Could I ask you a favor? Could you sit there and face me so I can see all your faces? Come on down here. And that way I can see you. Good morning. Well, it's so good to see each and every one of you here today. I have a question for you. Do you all ever do any type of sport or activity where you have to wear special gear? So, for example, if you ride a bike, you might wear a... Very good. So we're going to look at a couple pictures, and I'd like for you to tell me what you see in the picture that maybe this person's wearing to help keep them safe. So we'll go to the first one. Okay, soccer. Does anyone here play soccer? Lots of you, right? What is something you might wear when you play soccer so that you don't get hurt? Shin guards. Who wears shin guards? Why do you wear those? Yeah. Might get hurt getting kicked with a cleat, right? Ouch. All right, let's look at our next picture. Baseball. What is something you might wear if you play baseball that protects you? Right, that one's a helmet too. And what does that keep safe? Of course, your... It keeps your head safe, right? Very important to keep our head safe. Okay, again, we see another. So if you do any type of jog, construction, or other things, you might wear a safety vest so people can see you, another helmet to protect your head, or maybe even special gloves and other work gear too. All right, let's look. I think I have one more picture. Oh, this is a good one. What do you see here? Lots of things, right? Coat, pants. Right. All the things, right? Well, in today's scripture, the first scripture they read, they talked about a special suit. Now, does anyone have this outfit in their closet? I need to pass out a couple things to my helpers here. So we hear in the scripture, he talked about the armor of God, but what does that mean? Because again, we don't have this in our closet, so it must mean something important. So I have some friends here who are going to help me. I have my friend Sawyer here. He's going to show you some pictures so you can kind of see, and he can show you all around. And then I have some friends that are going to read. So the first thing that we are going to talk about is with Mr. Oscar, and it is the belt of truth.
I put on the belt of truth to protect me from the lies of the enemy. I walk in truth each day.
Did you guys know that the scriptures are true? Fully true. We can always turn to them and know it is the truth. The next thing we are going to... Oh, so I'm also going to have you put it on. So put on your belt. Boop. Very good. The next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. And do you kind of see that picture here? Or Sawyer has one? Go ahead and let's put that on. So that we are protected, and let's see what we have to say about that.
I put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart. I choose what is right and guard my heart from sin with God's help.
With God's help, we want to keep our hearts pure, and we want to keep them safe, and God's word tells us how to do that. All right, our next thing we're going to put on, again, we've talked a lot about this helmet. Put on your helmet. Boop. So what does this mean?
I put on the helmet of salvation to protect my mind. Because of what Jesus did for me, I am forgiven and free. My mind is set on him.
We always want to be thinking and learning about Jesus, and that's not always easy. And so we talk about the helmet. And next we have with our friend Mr. Gavin, we can put on.
I put on the shoes of peace and to prepare my feet. I walk in peace and courage and am ready to share the good news everywhere I go.
Who here thinks that we should tell as many people as we can about Jesus? Right? As many people as we can. So they talk about the shoes of peace. Okay, we got our shoes on. Let's put them on. Boop. Boop. These are good shoes, aren't they? All right. Our next one is also very important.
I hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the enemy. I can trust God and his promises for me.
That's right. Who is the enemy they're talking about? Right. The devil. Sin, the death, the devil, all those things. So we have our very special shield. Can I see your shields? Very good. All right. Next.
I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I speak the word and know that it is alive, active and sharper than any double-edged sword.
Isn't it so amazing that God gives us all these things in his word? Because we know that Jesus died. He rose again for us. His word is living and active and true, and we can turn to that every day to protect us. I want you to repeat something after me. Are you ready? Now that you have your armor on, repeat after me. I want you to say, thank you, God, for the armor you give. I will suit up each day, and because of you, we live. Very good. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, for dying on the cross, for forgiving our sins. And we thank you for these special images of the armor of God, where we know that we are protected through your word in all these ways. We ask that we continue to help one another, serve, love, and guide each other each and every day. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. So you're going to get to hear more about the armor of God in Little Worship if you and your families decide to go there today. Thank you.
Well, good morning. So have you guys been good? I mean, have you? I mean, remember, you're in church. Don't lie. And that's really what this message is about today. The Pharisees came to Jesus just before today's text, and they saw Jesus' disciples eating. And Jesus' disciples, in case you didn't know, they didn't really have a home. They didn't have a place that they called home. They would just stay with whoever would have them when they went from town to town. And on the way, on the path, they found some grain, and they harvested some of the grain. You know how they do that? I don't know if you guys grew up on a farm. You can just walk up to a wheat plant, and you can just pinch it, and you just slide your fingers up, and all the grain falls in your hand, and it's really, really amazing. And if it's like durum, you can chew it, and it turns into gums, which is really wild. It's just the weirdest thing. But anyway, they were just basically eating because they were hungry. It's a good reason to eat. And the Pharisees came, and they were annoyed with the disciples because the disciples weren't following the rules when they ate. They weren't following the rules, and the rules were that you needed to wash your hands before you eat. Anybody do that? Well, but they didn't do it for the same reasons we do. We do it because we're trying to avoid germs and all that kind of stuff. They did it because they wanted their hands to be ceremonially clean. And what it was is it was kind of a symbol of forgiveness. It was a symbol of dedicating my hands to God, that everything that I do with these hands are for him. And so they washed their hands as a discipline, as a lesson to themselves, as something that would remind them that their hands belong to God and that everything they do with these hands should bring glory to God. And then you eat, okay? Now, here's the thing about this rule. It's not in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? It's not a rule that God gave his people. I mean, God did give his people a whole bunch of rules about how to live and how to sacrifice and how to be clean and how to... There's a whole bunch of stuff that God did give his people, but this is a rule that kind of went over and above what God told his people to do. It's not a bad rule. I mean, to remind yourself constantly that your hands belong to God and that everything that you do with your hands should be bringing glory to God is a really good thing to remember, isn't it? But is it okay then to take a rule that some guy made up and then try to guilt people because they didn't follow the rule? Is that all right? Once I taught a lesson to the high school youth ministry, and I think I was reading out of the book of Hezekiah. Anybody hear that book? Was it? James chapter 6. No, this is actually made up. There is no book of Hezekiah. Oh, James chapter 6, because there's only 5 chapters in James. Very good. Took me a while. A little slow today. Anyway, but the thing is that I read from a fictitious biblical book and I just opened the Bible to a page and just started making stuff up, okay? And what I was making up is how God commands us to pray before we eat because this is good and right in God's eyes. You understand how this goes? And is that in the Bible anywhere? Anybody going to take a stab at it? It is not. It's why I had to make it up, right? It's not in the Bible that we pray before we eat. So why do we do this? Well, we do this because it is really important to instill in us and in our children and in all the people around us that where does this food come from? Because if we don't constantly remind ourselves of where this food comes from, we get anxious. Because then if the food's not coming from God, it's coming from me, and I have to make sure that I am doing everything that is necessary so that that food is going to continue to be there, and it becomes something that becomes a burden to me rather than a blessing from God. And it's really important for us to remember this. And is that a good thing? So do you have to pray before you eat? No, you don't. It's a good idea. It's a helpful habit, but it's not commanded by God, and we have to be careful that we don't take things and make them bigger than they are. So the disciples were being judged on the basis of a made-up rule for good intentions, but a made-up rule. And they were being called bad people because they didn't do the rule. Now, bad people is kind of an important thing in this passage because it actually is, the word is defiled, it's the unclean. It's a sacrificial temple word. It's a word that basically means that you are worthy of coming into God's temple. If you are not clean, you shouldn't come into the temple area. You should not come and worship God there, but you must go and do the things that would make you clean so that you are able to go into the temple area. And here's the thing. The thing that made you clean was not following rules. You understand this? The question is, how can we be acceptable to God? What is it that makes us acceptable? And there's a lot of things. You know, I just sat down because I was like going, this is kind of a fun thing. I can't wait to see what the internet has to say. So I typed into the internet, what makes a person good? Do you know how many answers I got? A lot of answers. I had here it is. There's a list of 15 things that'll make you good. You have to be honest, inspirational, whatever that means, polite, communicative, whatever that means. I mean, you can communicate a lot of stuff in a lot of different ways. I'm not sure all of them are good, but there it is. Kind, generous, thoughtful, optimistic, warm, welcoming, grateful, consistent, prudent, disciplined, and brave. That's the list of things. Here's what the Times, New York Times, they actually wrote an article on this, and they said you have to be kind, you have to pay attention, okay? You have to ask hard questions, and you have to hold yourself accountable. Now, here's the thing. I'm fascinated by the list, but I'm even more fascinated by answering the question, how do you know this, right? Because it's not so much what's the list, it's a matter of how did you get this list? Where did this list come from? And it's funny because in the Times article, they actually said in the article at the beginning, they said, goodness in the past has been tied to obedience, but we reject that. And here's what we say goodness is, which is fascinating because what they're doing is they're saying, don't obey the old definition, obey my definition, which is kind of a gutsy thing to say. It's a little arrogance going on that, you know, the old definition is no good, but mine is good, follow mine. And so we have this idea of, okay, so what is good? And a lot of people think that religion is all about making us good. So the idea of church, in some people's minds, is to make us better people by having us follow lots of rules. So if we come up with a bunch of rules, if I can teach you 10 ways that you can be a better person, that would be a good sermon. Have you ever heard me preach a sermon like that? Because that's not my job. My job is not to make you a better behaved person. My job is to help you to understand what God has already done for you. And the thing is that it's funny. Jesus pulls, because the disciples had been eating with these unwashed hands, The Pharisees basically told them, because you did this, you have eaten defiled food, and thus you are defiled. You are no longer clean. And Jesus then pulls his disciples aside, or he pulls all the people to himself, and he just says this. This is great. He just says this. He says, here we go. He says, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. So how many things can do it? Nothing. Nothing can make you unclean by going into you. You understand? Because in the Old Testament, there was a lot of rules about what you were allowed to eat and how you were allowed to eat and stuff. And what Jesus was saying is, that isn't what defiles you. And later with his disciples, they were like, what does that all mean? How is that? How are you supposed to understand that? And he goes, don't you get it yet? If you eat something, does it go into your heart? Or does it just simply go into your stomach and eventually be passed through and go somewhere else, right? It just, the natural order of things is you eat food and it passes through you and it's gone, and it doesn't change you. It doesn't change your righteousness at all. But he said this, he said, it's what comes out of your heart that defiles you. And then he goes on to tell us exactly what is in the human heart. Are you ready for this? Okay, here it is. What comes out, let's see here now. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Here's the list. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and defile a person. What Jesus is telling his disciples is this. And what Jesus is trying to tell the Pharisees, and what Jesus is trying to tell us, you're not going to become righteous by what you do. It can't work that way. Because the things that you do come from inside you. And let me tell you what is inside you. Sin. That when we say that we are sinful, we're not saying we do bad things, and the bad things we do make us bad. When we say we are sinful, what we are saying is we are rotten and sinful to the core. And because we are rotten and sinful on the inside, we do bad things. You understand the difference? It's not a matter of that we make ourselves bad by what we do. We do bad things because we are already rotten in the center. And that the stuff that we eat and the stuff that we take in isn't going to change the state of our rottenness. We're already rotten. Thus ends the sermon. Have a nice day. No, that's not going to be a good place to stop. The thing is this. Here is what is amazing, is that God, Jesus, took that rottenness upon himself, and that he paid the penalty for that. He became sin for us. He took on all of the filth and grossness and nastiness, and he took that sin to the cross as if it was his own and paid the full penalty for it. And that when Jesus rose from the dead, we also rise again in him. That in our baptism, that baptism is connected directly to the cross. That when we are baptized, our old self is killed. It dies and our sin is taken away with it. That we are tied to our sin just like a married couple is tied together, right? What does the pastor say at the end of the wedding? What God has joined together? Let no one separate, right? And the marriage is until death, right? And this is the thing, is that we are bonded with sin until death. We can't separate ourselves from that sin, except that Jesus in his mercy gives us this gift of baptism in which we die. Our sins die with Christ. We die with Christ, and then we are given new life along with the resurrection of Jesus, that because he lives, we also live. And here's the thing that I want you to understand. It isn't the stuff on the outside that causes us to be evil. We're evil already. But it is Jesus on the outside. And it is the action of his Holy Spirit and this gift of baptism that works on us, enters our heart through the work of the Spirit, and changes us from within. He declares us righteous. He gives us new life. We have a brand new start, only this time one connected to the Savior of all things and the one who gives us forgiveness. We are given a perfect life, the life that Jesus lived for us. We have all of that because of something that happened on the outside. And what I need you to understand is this. We are changed, and we don't deserve it. That we were born sinful, sinned the whole time, and Jesus loved us anyway, took your sin upon himself, paid the penalty, gives us new life, and now we are new on the inside. And this is the incredible grace that God has given us, that we understand it isn't the things we do that condemn us, it's what's inside us. And that God has given us new life. And because he has put new life in us, because we are now corrected on the inside, now we can live lives that'll bring glory to him. You get this? Now, we still are struggling with the sin thing, right? We live in the time that we call the now but not yet. You know, it's like you are now perfect children of God, declared righteous by Jesus. You are perfect in the sight of the Father, and yet we still sin, right? You know what I'm saying? And we're going to struggle with that, but the reason we can struggle with it, the reason we can fight against sin is because God has done the miracle of changing us on the inside so that we even want to. And to understand that the keeping the law is not just following a bunch of rules. Keeping the law is loving. You understand this? The first three commandments tell us how to love God. The other seven commandments tell us how to love our neighbors. So if you do all the commandments perfectly but do it selfishly, have you accomplished anything? But if we live as the new people that God has made us to be, if we live as his children and we live out the faith that he has given us, basically overflowing with the love that God has poured into us, into the world, will we love? And without his love, we can't love, and so our works aren't, they don't mean anything. My friends, this is the deal. We have been rescued. Nothing could make us more sinful than we already were. But Jesus has made us clean. And now our task, our privilege is to live out the faith that God has put in us, to live out the new life that we have been given, to be able to love the people around us and to return love and thanks and thanksgiving to God for all that he has done for us. And don't forget, it's not just about baptism. Baptism is where we receive the new life, but that new life requires maintenance. And that maintenance happens with God's word. That maintenance happens with this meal. And it's amazing because we talk about how anything you eat cannot make you sin, doesn't make you sinful, right? But this thing that we eat continues to help us to remain holy in his sight. Not because it's a good deed that we do it, but because through this we receive the promise of God. That in this we receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Such a thing that God has done for us. And such a thing that we need to keep it straight in our heads. That the things that we do not make us righteous. The things that we do not make us sinful. The sinful and the righteous is on the inside of us. And that if we live out the faith and the change that God has put inside us, we will live a life that brings glory to his name. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us so much, for redeeming us and for bringing us into this covenant relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us in our faith, Lord, through your gift of your holy word, Lord, and your gift of communion. Help us, Lord, to be strong in the difficult times. Help us, Lord, to be led by you. Help us, Lord, to live out the faith you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. It is now time to continue our worship service. So and in doing so, we're going to be collecting the offering. As the offering is collected, I encourage you to record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats, and let us return praise to God as we do this.
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you give us daily bread. But sometimes we struggle thinking that it's on our own efforts, our abilities, that we need to provide for all of our things when that's your job. And this leads us to have anxiety about things. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to cast all our cares upon you, to set aside the things that cause us anxiety and just sit and trust. Trusting in you to provide for our needs because you care for us. Jesus, I thank you for taking our rottenness upon yourself, that you died the death that we deserved, and that satisfied the payment for our sin that we never could have paid ourselves. I thank you that in your death and in all of your work, you are making us new. I pray that you'd help us to live lives that bring glory to you. And sometimes new life requires maintenance. So Lord, I pray daily that you would help us to turn to you in prayer, to turn to your word that we might know your voice and follow. We pray that we would faithfully receive your body and blood. All these things, Lord, is difficult to do on our own. And so we ask as well that your spirit would guide us to follow and to know your ways, and that we live each day in accordance with your spirit, that by your spirit we might proclaim your truths to a people who so desperately need to hear it. All these things we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
My friends, we have been acted upon by the outside. We have taken in the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the very body and blood that was sacrificed for us so that we can live forever. And because we have received this body and blood in faith, we are changed. That our God has promised to us that through this gift, our faith is strengthened and we are given the forgiveness of sins. And so, in the knowledge of this promise, and in the faith that our God is faithful, depart in his peace. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up to sing the final song together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. We have no Sunday school or Bible class today, but we do have a talk from our life team. So I'd like to invite, see Carla standing. So I assume Carla Bomarito is going to be coming up here. So you're welcome to come on up.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. Our God cares about life from conception to life's natural end, in essence, from womb to tomb. And he knows that life in this world has its ups and downs, its good times and times of challenge and difficulty. He cares about all that we go through and is there to help when we call upon him. One of his promises to us is in Psalm 34, verses 17 through 19. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. We don't often understand the severe times that people face that can lead to brokenheartedness or being crushed in spirit. The most extreme situations could even lead to suicide. We know that God cares for people in such extreme situations. And we know that we can be the human care that they need. We care because our God cares. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention is an organization that provides resources and support for those in extreme life situations. The AFSP is a voluntary health organization. It was founded in 1987, and it advocates for research and education around suicide. They're based in New York City with a public policy office that's based in Washington, D.C. The organization's stated mission is to save lives and bring hope to those affected by suicide. Each year, the AFSP sponsors an Out of the Darkness community walk to help fund this important life work. This year's walk is on September 22nd at Grieve Corps Lake Park. This is our next Life Team event, and there are several ways that you can help. We have established a fundraiser team, of which I am the team captain this year. So there is a table set out in the lobby where you will find lots of information concerning this event. The Life Team will have a water station where we will not only be passing out water to the walkers, but also a Christian message of hope. I was also given permission to set up a prayer chair for anyone seeking that. So, did I hear somebody say, "What can I do?" Well, let me tell you what you can do. We need volunteers. If you could just work a one-hour shift at either the water table or the prayer chair, that would be amazing. But we also need donations, because that's what it's about. There are several ways that you could do that. We have an envelope set out there for cash or check donations, but if you prefer charge, we have ways you can do that online or offline, or by soliciting others. Some people just walk the event and get other people to sponsor them. Anyone can participate in the walk at your leisure on that day. There is also information about the schedule of events going on. There's lots of fun things. And of course, we need your prayers for a successful event. My original goal for this year was to raise $500, and I've actually already met that goal just by talking to my friends and family. So I would like to, with your help, at least double that goal. This organization is very personal for me, having lost my oldest son that way. I'm sure that it might be very personal for you too, some of you. Providing funds to help with research and education on depression is more and more important every single day. So we will have this information set up outside at the Connection Center. Today it's at a table. In the next 2 weeks, we'll have it up at the Connection Center so you can participate in or find information in the next 2 weeks. We also have information in the bulletin, and there will be an article in the Scribe giving more information on the AFSP. So I will see you in the lobby.
Thank you, Carla. A couple quick announcements I want to emphasize. One is Momco is still looking for help with childcare on Thursdays. That's two times a month. If you're interested or want to find out more information, you can talk to our DCE, Lauren Bates. And as well, there was a flyer in the bulletin for if you're interested in a school shirt with the theme indoor, then you can find information on how you might be able to purchase one of those. Otherwise, I pray you have a blessed week. Oh, and Pastor Bob has something else. I feel like I should run away.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who believes this, or who feels this way, but I am so grateful to God that he sent Pastor Josh to be among us and to serve here as a pastor. And a little birdie told me that he is having a birthday this week. Now, he is still young enough that birthdays aren't depressing. So we want to make this birthday a really happy one for him. And so I really think it might be good if we actually sang to him this morning. Don't you think that would be wonderful? I think that would just be great. So let's all sing to him, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Josh. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And I have to say, I'm really impressed because I knew we were going to get a pastor. I didn't know we were going to get a percussion department. That was pretty impressive stuff. So God's blessings.
Anything else?
Nope, I think that'll do.
Fantastic. Go enjoy Labor Day weekend.